like to just offer one more little prayer before I get started here. Lord God, I just ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just come down upon me, Lord Jesus, right now, Lord Jesus, and take any anxiousness away from me, Lord Jesus. Take any nervousness away from me, and just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let your words be spoken, not mine. I know when I wrote this, Lord Jesus, that you spoke to me all the way through it. So I know this is one of you. Let it go out into the congregation here, Lord Jesus, and not just to the congregation, but let the congregation then take it out to others. And we will give you all the honor and the praise, not us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. This was a tough one for me. Only because I guess I needed to hear it just as much as everybody else did. And I don't know if I wanted to hear it, to be quite honest. But I did. The title of this is The Great Awakening. I titled this purposely, like I said, because I needed to hear it, and I believe we here at Crossroads Baptist Church needs to hear it. Great awakenings happen throughout the entire Bible. Unfortunately, I don't know about you, but for me, I really didn't look at them as great awakenings. I looked at them as terrific stories, stuff I could learn from, I could relate to, but I never really considered it this big explosion, this big great awakening, like your mind just explodes, and like, oh my gosh, that's really true. I should be doing that. I mean, we can go on for examples of like Paul on the road to Damascus. That was a great awakening for Paul. Just imagine, you're out there and you're killing off all the Christians. Just killing them off. And all of a sudden you're walking down the road to go get some more, and you're struck down. You're blinded. And God speaks to you. You, who's doing everything against him. But he's speaking to you. And he goes on to do great things with Paul, as we've seen in the Bible. That's a great awakening. We have Noah and the great flood. I couldn't imagine God coming down to me and saying, hey buddy, come here. I know you're a carpenter. Build me an ark. And this is just exactly how I want it built. I'll even give you the plans. I'll tell you exactly what wood to use, the whole nine yards. Just build this thing. I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I would react. But Noah, being a man of God, he listened. And he did what God had told him to do. And he built the ark. And we all know the story. 40 days, 40 nights out in the boat. That would drive me nuts. That would probably drive me insane being on the boat that long with all them animals. But he did it. That's a great awakening. And then we have Moses and his walk with Israel. How? I just don't get, I mean, I get it, but he comes to Moses and says, I want you to take my people and I want you to take them through this big desert. But you're going to get rewarded. You're going to have all these things. And as we know, Moses did exactly what God asked him to do. And we all know the end of that story. Parted the big Red Sea and away they went. Hallelujah. The biggest thing that I see about these people here that we just talked about, and that's just a small example, by the way. There's a lot more in there. I mean, I could stand up here probably for the next hour, 2 hours, just telling you different stories. But the biggest thing I've seen about these are all common people. They're not people of royalty. They're not kings. They're all normal, just regular common people that God uses to bring His glory to the rest of the world. But to me, the biggest great awakening, the biggest one, well, not the biggest one, we'll go with the first one first. Skipped over my notes. We'll start with the first one. That's in the book of Genesis. We'll go all the way back to the book of Genesis for the first one. Now, in the book of Genesis, God created everything. Everything. And what did He create it from? Nothing. He created it from nothing. He even created man and made man into His own image. Think about that. You really need to think about that. He meant God made man in His own image. I mean, some of this is coming from our men's retreat. So some of you might have heard this stuff before, but maybe not. But God made in His own image. How much do you think God loves you because He made you in His own image? He made you, and you, and you, everybody here, in His own image. That's a lot of love, I think. He's got a lot of love for you to do that. And nothing awoke in this world because until God said so. God said, "Awake." God breathed air into Adam's nostrils and he awoke. God does everything. So where is He with you? Do you ever feel like, because He made everything out of nothing, so do you ever feel like you're nothing? Ever? I mean, I know I have. I'll be honest. I've gone through some horrible times and I felt like I'm nothing. Like I shouldn't even be here sometimes. But I know God says I'm something. God says you're something. Everyone here is actually something to God. He created you in His image. You're something. Then the biggest, greatest awakening I think that ever happened. Jesus Christ is born in a manger, in a stable, with animals. Here we go with the animals again. But to me, that's the greatest awakening that we can see that's ever happened. He takes a Virgin Mary, Mary as a virgin, the Holy Spirit comes over her, and Christ, our Lord and Savior, is born. We all know that Christ goes on. This was the biggest great awakening. And what it does is it gives us the open, through Christ's ministry, gives us the open door policy of getting into heaven. That just opened up the door big and wide. But you gotta have Christ. We need to tell somebody. We need to tell a lot of people about this. You see, throughout Jesus' ministry, you can see a lot of great awakenings that He's done. He's healed the sick. He's taken people that were riddled with illnesses and just by the touch of His hand, automatically they're healed. He raised people from the dead. Now, I don't know about you. We might have doctors nowadays and stuff like that that could heal you. Not as fast as Christ will heal you, but they will heal you. But I don't know of anybody since Christ that could raise somebody from the dead. I mean, look at Lazarus. Lazarus was there for, 4 days, I believe, if I remember my story correctly. He was there for 4 days, laying there dead. And Christ just walks over and says, "Why don't you get up?" Okay, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, "Why don't you just get up and get out of there?" And what happens? He gets up and he gets out of there. I don't know of anybody that could do that nowadays. Nobody's done it since then. Only Christ, and Jesus Christ, has done that. He's fed thousands and thousands of people with a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread. How? David Copperfield couldn't do that. David might be able to make a plane disappear, but he ain't going to feed thousands and thousands of people with just a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread. But God, Jesus Christ, has done that for us. He's done that. That's a great awakening to these people. Could you imagine being there, being one of the disciples, going to Christ saying, "We don't have enough food." And Christ says, "Just take it out there and give it to them." And they do, and they have leftovers. That'd be a great awakening for them all. And Christ did this because he loved them all. He loves every one of you. He loves everybody out there. Christ loves us all. I think it's time for Crossroads Baptist Church, including myself in this, to wake up. To wake up and start telling people about Christ. Who should be your hero? The passage for this message that I chose was from Romans 13, 10 through 12, if you want to read along with me. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, there is fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So put aside your deeds of darkness and put on your armor of light. Now let's break this down a little bit. As it says, as Paul says, love does no harm to a neighbor. The Bible also states in Leviticus 19:18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Well, maybe some of us don't love ourselves that much. Because if we did, these pews would be packed. Because we'd be telling everybody about Jesus. Because we love them. But I can tell you that there's been many, many times. Well, I don't know about many, many, many times. But there's been a good amount of times where I didn't love my neighbor. I'm going to use myself as an example. I didn't love my neighbor. I remember one time. This was some years ago when I was a youth pastor here. I took the kids to the church. We used to take the kids roller skating every, I think it was Monday or something. We'd go up to the big wheel roller skating rink. Well, there was a kid there that had piercings all over his face. He had his jean jacket on, all ripped up. You know, like a rough and tough biker dude. He was a little older. He was good sized gentleman, but he was a kid. And I thought to myself, how could this kid be here with these kids talking about Jesus. Well, I don't remember which night it was, but there was one of the nights they let him give the message to these kids. And it overpowered me. This kid was amazing. He truly loved the Lord. And he reached so many of our youths that came to the big wheel that Monday. It was amazing. When I seen how many hands went up at the end of the service, at the end of his talking, I was really surprised. So it's not for us to judge. It's not for us to do anything but to love our neighbors. Paul says in verse 11, and do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than what we first believed. Huh. Think about that a little bit. Paul goes on, like I said, and says, wake up! Let's face it, the time is coming near. Look at the world today. Look at the condition of this earth today. A lot of us are getting older, and we can all remember a time where we were outside all night till the street lights came on. Didn't worry so much about locking our doors. We're living in a much different time now. We didn't play games when we were kids on these Nintendos or Xboxes, wherever you want, game system you might have, with stealing and killing and prostitution and everything else that you're playing these games with. We didn't have any of that. We didn't see terrorism in our schools like we see today. We didn't see terrorism out in the streets like we do today. The Bible warns us. The Bible's telling us right here, as the passage we just read, the dark times are here. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 states, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, trash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its powers, having nothing to do with such people. That's where we're at, isn't it? That's where we're at today, isn't it? We're in the dark times. Is your form of godliness a mirror of Jesus Christ? Or is your mirror looking in the mirror of your own doing? Something that we seriously need to look at. I had a look in that mirror. I'm still looking in that mirror. Paul says in verse 12, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Well, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. This is the dark time we're living in, and hallelujah, it's almost over. Christ is coming. He might be here in an hour. He might be here in another week. We don't know when he's actually going to be here, but I can guarantee you, he's coming. Are you ready? Amen. The day of light is almost here. And the light that they speak of is Jesus Christ. Christ is coming back. and the dark times will be no more. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. There will be no more terrorism. We'll be living in a place full of milk and honey. A place where we'll be so happy. Even when we were kids, we couldn't be this happy. Living in a world that a lot of us lived in when we were younger. We still ain't going to be that, not even that happy. Because we're going to have even more with Christ. Now, one of the things, though, we all have to look at is that you have to have Christ in your heart and really love Him to be able to do this. Or you could be stuck in the dark times. You could be stuck with the pain, the sorrow, the burning of hell. Never to see light again. For some of us, we'll probably never see our families again. Because a lot of our families will be in heaven. So it's a choice. It's a choice that we all have to make. Whether we want to live in the darkness, or whether we wanted to live in the light. I pray that that 100% of you want to live in the light. But the thing about living in the light also means is if you live in the light, that means you need to love your neighbor. And I don't mean just the guy next door. Because I can tell you, the guy next door to me, we didn't get along for the longest time. We even fought over the fence that I put up down in my yard. My God, 28 years ago. But now we get along. It's great. But what I'm saying is, if we love our neighbors, and I don't mean just the next door neighbor, I mean the people we meet at the grocery store, the people that we work with, the guy that just moved into our rental unit up here. Doesn't matter. Whoever you come in contact with is your neighbor. And if you love your neighbor, wouldn't you tell him about Christ? Wouldn't you tell him that he needs to live in the light, not in the darkness? That's what this is really all about. That's what Christ came here, down here to do. Not just to forgive our sins, but to show us an example of how we go out and tell the world about Christ, about God. So they can be saved. Because you don't get saved automatically. You've got to have Christ in your heart. I mean, truly in your heart. God is my hero. For years and years and years, my hero was, you might laugh at this, but Broadway Joe Namath. He was my hero. Any big football player that would get on TV wearing stockings, was my hero. He had a lot of guts, if you ask me. But now, my hero is Jesus Christ. I want to live by His example. I want His example to come down upon me so people see Christ through me and want to know, well, Tony, what happened to you? Which has been asked many times since I've come to Christ. So my old friends, I don't even see much anymore because I'm not going back to my old ways. But, again, let's pack our churches. Let's pack these pews. And not just these pews, but we could pack these church buildings around the world just by spreading the word of God's good grace. Okay. Next week, I get to preach again. And that will be part 2 of this. So if you really want to learn something, this gives us a brief overview, but next week we're going to be talking about what it means to be the church. What it means to be in a church building. And how Christ dealt with that. So please be here next week for that. And bring your neighbor. Bring your neighbor, bring your relatives, bring your friends. At least put the invitation out there. All we can do is put the invitation out and God will do the rest. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we just love you, Lord God. You are my hero. There's none like you. There will never be another one like you. Lord God, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would come down upon each and every one of us and that we would take you out into the communities. In all the different communities that we all live in, Lord Jesus, that we would just flood it with the hope and the prayers of you. We would flood it with everybody seeing us as examples of living for you. You are the great God. You are the only God. And for this, we will give you all the honor and praise. Now with everybody's head still bowed and eyes shut, if anybody here needs to have a closer relationship with God, or maybe you don't have one at all, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we just pray for these people that raised their hands, Lord Jesus, that you would come upon down upon their hearts. You would give them a renewed sense, Lord Jesus, of what it means to be Christ-like. You would live through them, but you would also live through each and every one of us. You would help the rest of us to show them what it is to be like Christ. And again, we give you all the honor and praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.